Let's bow our heads for another word of prayer. Our Father God, as we open your word this morning, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to receive your message. I pray, Lord, that not a single word will come from my lips that is not directly from you, and that each one of us will be drawn closer to you and surrender ourselves more fully to you. I pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. We sang a song this morning that said, I would be like Jesus. As we think about that, my question is, would you really be like Jesus? Is that really what you want to be like? Is be like Jesus. We call ourselves Christians. And that, of course, is what the name means, isn't it? A follower of Christ. One who wants to be like Jesus. But what does it mean to be like Jesus? How far are you willing to take it to be like Jesus? I mean, there are some things that all of us, yeah, this is good. I'll be like Jesus. But really, how far are you willing to take it to be like Jesus? I want you to turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to take a little bit of a look at how far Jesus took it. How serious he was about what he did. And are we willing to really be like Jesus? Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. So to begin with, to be like Jesus, it's not just the things that we do, but even much more than that, it's the way that we think. Are you willing to change your way of thinking to be like Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation? Now, that was hard for me. Because I was thinking about that. And you know, my thing is, you always want to make a good reputation for yourself. Here, Jesus, you couldn't have a better reputation. You couldn't have a better name for yourself. And yet, what he chose to do was give all that up. And as the scripture goes on to say, took upon himself the form of a servant. Now, the work that I do, in a way, it is a work such as a servant. I am a handyman. The difference being is a servant really doesn't get paid for what they're doing, or they get paid real minimal. And normally when we find servant in Scripture, it's really meaning more a slave. And a slave doesn't get paid anything. Me, I get paid well for what I do. Sometimes better than what I should get paid. But I make an extreme effort to produce a great work in what I do. So that when people think about me, they think good things about me. And when they have somebody else that wants some work done, the first thing that pops into their head is what I did for them, and they're willing to share my name. I'm seeking to build a reputation all the time, where Christ, on the other hand, as we said, he had the greatest of reputations and came to make himself a servant. So, now, I don't say with this that we should make nothing of ourselves. Scripture doesn't really tell us that. But sometimes we've got to kind of departmentalize what we're thinking. And you know, our work should truly bring glory to God. It shouldn't be to uplift ourselves, but it should be to honor God. And that's what I do try and tell people when they talk about my work. Yesterday I was actually texting with a guy, and he was talking about the things that I did, and I just tried to point him right back to God. I try and do what it is God would have me to do. I try for my work to be acceptable to God. And if it's acceptable to God, it ought to be acceptable to anybody else. And with God, you know, mediocrity isn't good with God. God, He's God. He deserves the best. We should be willing to give Him the best. And if we're looking at doing our work to the honor of God, it should always be our best. Always. But the part of the reputation should be not for my glory, but for God's glory. And so we need to keep that in mind to start with, that whatever we do, it's not for what people are going to think of me, but for the purpose of pointing them to our Heavenly Father. Now Jesus, it says He made Himself of no reputation and took the form of a servant. In other words, He came to serve. He came not to get what He could out of this world, but to give what He could. Is that somewhere we need to change our way of thinking? I can't tell you how often I hear people talking about, well, they don't come to church anymore because they just don't get anything out of it. Well, how about going to church to put something into it? Why don't you go to church to see how you might be a benefit to the congregation instead of the congregation to you? How about in our other relationships, we seek more for what we can put into it? How we can uplift God to each individual than for what they can do for us. How they make us feel. What they make us think. And like I said, it's a whole new way of thinking for most of us. You know, this goes on with Jesus. It says in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus, who created this world, created us, chose to serve us, even to the point of dying for us. You know, this is where things get really deep. Okay? Because let's think about it for a moment. It's one thing just to go and do a little something for somebody, and we can call it serving. But how many of you would really be willing to give up your life to die for someone else? I'm going to make this a little bit harder. We're going to exclude spouses and children, your children. How many of you would be willing to die for someone other than your spouse or children? Usually those things are a no-brainer. I mean, that would just kind of happen. You know, Scripture tells us in John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for a friend. How many of you would be willing to lay down your life for your friends? And I'm going to say this too. When I'm up here preaching, it's okay for you to respond to me. It really is. I actually like it because I know you're actually listening to what I'm saying. So, but really, would you be willing to lay down your life for your friend? What kind of friend would you be willing to lay down your life for? Because remember here, we're talking about that we want to be like Jesus, right? Are we really willing to be like Jesus? Because Jesus, yes, He did lay down His life for His friends. We even have in the book of Zechariah where it's talking about, you know, in heaven and the new earth, it says that one shall say unto him, this is Zechariah 13:6, what are those wounds in your hands? And his answer is, those are where I was wounded in the house of my friends. So, yeah, Jesus is willing to lay down his life for his friends. But do you know what the book of Romans says about this? In Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Now, wait a minute. Do you get that? Jesus says, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Romans says, when we were enemies with God is when Christ died for us. So you see, here it is. The people that Jesus died for hated Jesus. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They despised Him so much that they killed Jesus. And it wasn't just those who were back in that day that actually nailed Him to the cross. This means us, with all our sin. We hated Jesus. It's our sin that nailed Him to the cross. We were His enemies. But Jesus said, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Those who were enemies with Jesus Christ, those who hated Him, despised Him, and killed Him, He turns around and says, you're my friend. Told you it was going to start getting deep. So the question is, if you're going to be like Jesus, are you going to be like Jesus? Not just be willing to die for your friends, those you already have a deep love for, those who you might even think of as family, or even higher than your family. Some of you, sometimes we have friends that we wish we were our family instead of our family being our family. But instead of dying for those that we already love, are you willing to go to the point that Jesus went to and say, I'm going to die for these people that hate me, and even though they hate me, I'm not calling them enemies, I'm calling them friends. Are you even willing to call your enemies your friends? That can be hard enough. But are you willing to be like Jesus and take it to the point where you would even die for them? That can be tough. I want to share with you, quote, I don't have it written down here where it's from. I think it's from the book Desire of Ages. But I'm not sure that that is the correct book. But it says, Satan, with his fierce temptations, wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. You get that? Jesus couldn't see the other side. Hope did not present to him his coming forth from the grave a conqueror, or tell him of the Father's acceptance of the sacrifice. He feared that sin was so offensive to God that their separation was to be eternal. Do you get that? Jesus died willingly. Okay? Willingly. He wasn't forced to do this. Jesus chose to die for those of us who hated Him, believing that in doing so, He would never see His Father again. Let's go back to our original question. Would you be like Jesus? Are you willing to have the mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus? The mind that says, I am willing to give up my eternal life with my Heavenly Father for the sake of someone who hates me. Are you willing to go that far? That's a hard step, isn't it? I mean, isn't that why we're Christians to start with? Is we want to be with our Heavenly Father? I mean, no greater joy than to spend the rest of eternity with our Father, with the one who created us, with the only real God, and with His Son who died for us. There's nothing I want more than that. And even though I was talking to my daughter on the way up here that I want to see all my girls in heaven, the thing is, I want to see them all there. I want to be there with them. I want them there. And as much as I want them there, I want to be there even more. Even if they choose not to be there, I want to be there. So the question comes down for me, as well as for you. Am I willing to have the mind that Jesus had? Am I willing to go to the depths that Jesus went to? Would I be willing, would you be willing to give up your eternal life for the sake of someone who hates you? Can't answer that for you. I'm not even sure I can answer it for me. I'll be honest with you, that's tough. I know it's tough. And I'm not going to say that if you're not willing to do it, you'll be lost. I will never tell you that. I can't say I believe that. I can tell you, I will tell you, that if you can answer that truthfully and say, yes, you would be willing to do that, I will guarantee you are in such a relationship with your Heavenly Father that you will be in the kingdom. There is no doubt in my mind. Because that's what it takes to reach that point, is to have such a dynamic relationship with Him that the only thing that matters is glorifying His name and drawing people to Him, whatever it takes, even if it means your own life. And as hard as this question may be to answer, would you be willing to do it? And really, I guess it's not really a necessary question to answer, but I think it's a good barometer. It does help us to see kind of where we're at in our relationship with our Father. But at the same time, the good thing about this is you'll never have to do it. You don't have to give up your eternal life for someone else. Jesus Christ did that. Jesus Christ did it. Sometimes it may feel like what we have to do would be giving up our eternal life for someone else. And I'm not saying this in the sense of getting involved in their sin to try and draw them out. Don't ever do that. Don't ever even begin to do that. But this is the idea of giving up everything about yourself, everything you hold dear, everything that you want for the sake of someone else's eternal life, that they could be with God. The good thing with it is if you have reached that point, or if you're heading that direction, it's not something you will ever have to do. Because when you are in such a position, such a relationship with your Father, that you're willing to give up, yes, even your eternal life, that shows that your love for your Father and your love for your fellow man, regardless of who it is, even those that just despitefully use you and hate you and persecute you, and yes, want to kill you, that your love for them is much greater than your love even for yourself. And that, my friends, is what our God and our Savior Jesus Christ is all about. That is the mind that was in Christ Jesus. He had it all and chose to give it all up for our sake. And thank you doesn't even come close, does it? What else can we say? But that doesn't even come close. It is because Jesus had precisely this attitude, these thoughts, this love that is deeper than anything I can even imagine. It's so hard for me to comprehend this. And I have to stop here and tell you to start with that, I'm really grateful for the parents God gave me. Because I tell you, especially in my mother, God gave me a glimpse of Him that is more than I could ever ask to see. It went to this point. Back when I was only 18 years old. My family moved from Idaho to Charlotte. I had just graduated high school. We moved the day after I graduated. We were in Charlotte we took a little bit of time down in Florida, then went back to Charlotte. But all that time was about 5 months. Really, I wanted to be back in Idaho. I went to work one night and I got drunk. And I came home and me and my mom got in a fight. I had to ask her whether I hit her or not because I didn't recall whether I did, but I felt like I did. And she said, no, I didn't hit her, but I cussed her out real well, which is not something I did to my mom. Even if I wanted to, I knew better because I was afraid of my dad. But it wasn't something that I would do.
I did have more respect for her than to do that. But I did it then. And I grabbed my money then, and I got a ride to the bus station, and I got on a bus, and I took off back to Idaho. And as I began sobering up, realizing what I had done, or what I might have done, it began to tear me apart. And I wanted to talk to my mom so bad, but I was afraid to talk to my mom. Because I knew I mistreated her. I didn't know really what I did, but I knew I mistreated her. And I knew it was bad. Otherwise, I would still be there. I knew it was awful. Finally, about 2 days into the trip, I broke down and I called. First thing she says to me is, "Well, you know you can come home." No way. There's no way I can go home. After what I did? No. "Oh yeah, you can. It may be okay with you. It's not okay with me. I couldn't do it." "Okay, well, you can come home. But if you choose to keep going, I want you to know, we already found out that you were on a bus heading back to Idaho. I've already called so-and-so back there and made arrangements for them to pick you up when you got to the bus station. It's supposed to arrive at this time. And already made arrangements for them to pick you up and take you back to their house and make sure you're taken care of." I tell you, for years I could never understand that. It just blew my mind how anybody could do any of that after the way I treated them. And it wasn't until I began to know God that I began to understand it. And as I began to get to know God, and I thought back on this, I just had to thank God for giving me such a picture of Himself. It took a while to realize He gave me such a picture of how horrible I was too. But then I already knew I was pretty bad. But to see a glimpse of Him. And you know, as wonderful, as miraculous as this was, it's still just a glimpse of what our God is like. Our God will stop at nothing to have you with Him for all eternity. As much as you want to be with Him, I promise you, He wants to be with you even more. That's our God. That's His love. That's the love of His Son. That is why His Son, getting ready to die for you and I, bearing all the sins of this world, not being able to see that He was going to come back from this victorious and still get to spend eternity with His Father, thinking this was the end for Him. This was it. Not wanting any part of it. Not wanting to do it at all. He prayed, "Father, if there's any way to be out of this, that I don't have to go through this, let it be done But instead of what I want, even more than what I want, much more than that, Father, whatever it is you want, whatever is going to bring glory and honor to your name, let that be done. My friends, to truly be a Christian means to take that exact same attitude. Father, what I want doesn't matter. Let everything in my life bring glory to your name. Amen.